I got a passage of scripture here that I want to go through with you this morning in Ephesians chapter 4. We're talking about doing these things together. We're in this thing together. Whatever it is. Outside cleanup project, supporting missionaries, supporting the gospel through the internet system. It's a unified effort, project. And that's what I want to preach on this morning. And I was going to preach on this before I brought all that up a while ago. I didn't know I was going to do that. I just did it. But in Ephesians chapter 4, we've got Paul dealing with this subject of unity. The unity of the body of Christ, or the unity of the church is what I... And when I say church, I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the organism. I'm talking about the living body of the head, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? That's the church. That's the church. And so if you've got life this morning, if you have life, if you're in mystical union with the Lord Jesus Christ, that's vital, then you're a part of the body, just like these members on my body here, fingers, hands, you know, all the members of the body. All the members make one body. And it's a unified thing. Oh, it's a unified. And they all have a purpose. Every member of the body has a purpose. I'm talking about the physical body. And, I'm talking about taking those appendix out of my wife, week before last. And we had this little printout information sheet that they gave us at the hospital, and said, as far as medical study is concerned and research, they found no known purpose for the appendix. Well, I guarantee you it has a purpose. Amen. Or God wouldn't have put it in the body. That's just how much and how little they know. This body is fearfully and wonderfully made. It's stitched together like a fine garment, stitch by stitch. And so maybe, you know, one day God will show them what the purpose on putting those appendix in there. But anyway, everything has a purpose in this body. Everything has a purpose in the membership of this little church here. Every person has a purpose. You think, well, I don't contribute anything. You do. You do contribute. I mean, you're you. And in your own way, you make a contribution to this church, this body. And so, this is what we're going to talk about this morning. Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. I said, you stay there all day. To walk worthy of the vocation, you're called a believer, you're called a Christian. There's a worthy walk that goes along with that. It should be a worthy walk. You should walk worthy of what you're called. It's an honor to be called a believer, to be called a Christian, a follower of Christ. It's an infinite honor. No higher honor. No higher honor ever bestowed upon man. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. They tell you not only that you ought to walk worthy, that you should walk worthy, but how a worthy walk is manifest. Starts out low, doesn't it? It remains there too, doesn't it? Endeavoring, he says, to keep, and here it shows up the first time, the word unity, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, Now what's the unity? One body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope. It's only one hope. Anything outside of the hope that you have in Christ, the gospel, or anyone has that you know of, has a false hope. Or no hope at all. It's better, really, to have no hope at all than to have a false hope. Get some help, maybe, if you have no hope at all. But a false hope will usually wind you up in the state of eternal destruction. He goes on and says, one Lord, one faith. One faith, he's talking about the gospel. He's talking about the body of doctrine that what makes up what we call the gospel. The faith that Jude talks about that we're to contend for. The faith. He's not talking about faith here as a virtue. As a principle. You know, we believe. That's faith. We lay hold of Christ. That's faith. We rest in Christ. That's faith. But he's not talking about that here. He's talking about a body of doctrine. And the church holds to one body of doctrine. It's not a pick and choose. It's what Christ has revealed through his apostles. It's been written down in this book and given to the church. It's once and for all. Jude said it's once and for all given to the church. Not going to change. Not going to change. One baptism. Somebody said, well, I believe that's the baptism of the Spirit. Well, does it say that? Huh? No, sir, I don't think it is. There was one baptism in that early church. There's really only one baptism. It's only one. Baptism is baptism. Immersion. Baptismo. That means to submerge or emerge or dip under. Cover up with water. Like putting a person in a grave. Isn't that so? Somebody said, well, that's not a big issue. It is with the Bible. I think it is with Christ. It was in the early days of the church. I wouldn't fuss over that, somebody said. I'm not either. I'm not going to fuss over it. I'm just going to state the fact and go on. If fellow wants to fuss about it, he's got to fuss with the Lord, not with me. Everything's vital in this book. Everything. Truth is vital. Truth is vital. Truth is precise. It has no tolerance. It doesn't. It doesn't have a give or take tolerance in this thing. It's truth is truth. You can break it, but you can't bend it. This is one God and Father of all, who is above all. And through all. And in y'all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he said this in Psalm 68:18. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. The word to fill there, of course, is fill up, fulfill, leaving nothing over. He goes on and says, and he gave some apostles. some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles, or as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness or hardness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Somebody said, well, that's just describing the ancient heathen. No, that's describing heathenism, where it's ancient or where it's civilized, modern, or whatever. That's just describing the natural state of man. You got it all around you today. And the more that the Lord loosens the reins, the more of that flesh you see corrupting society. Verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him. Notice that didn't say it. If so be that you have heard of Him. That's important, isn't it? If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Just use the name, the one name, not the title, not the office. And say Christ, the Lord Jesus, or the Lord Jesus Christ. It said Jesus. Come back to humanity. The humanity. Hey, and that man's in heaven this morning. The man, he's on the throne at the right hand of majesty. The man that ye put off concerning, watch this, the former conversation or conduct, way of life, the old man which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The new man, created in righteousness and true holiness. And the margin says, in holiness of truth. Wherefore, putting away lying, you got to put off some things. He's talking to believers here. Stop lying, he said. He said, well, you mean believers lie? You question that? Huh? Did you have a perfectly honest week last week? Put off the old man, he says. And when you put off the old man, you put off lying. That's in the old man. You put on the new man, you speak the truth. Every man speaking the truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. You ever done that? Righteous indignation. You ever had that take place in your life when something just, there's an indignation that rises up you against something that opposes God? Huh? You know, I don't fret so much over the beer joints and the houses of prostitution and the streetwalkers and all this other stuff. That don't bother me near as much as those who are spreading false doctrine. I mean, you know, falsehood in doctrine is a vital thing. To keep the truth is important. Amen. Be angry and sin not. This is important. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Sometimes you get upset. Sometimes you get upset for a good cause. Most time it's not for a good cause. It's just for your cause. It's a selfish cause. And you get upset. And what he's telling us here, if you want to have peace and a good night's sleep, don't go to bed without getting that thing straightened out. Without getting it cleared up. You ever have you married folks, you ever have a spat with your wife? You men? You wives with your husband? You don't do that, do you? And you puff up. And you boat up and you go on to bed. You lay there and you toss and turn. Why can't I go to sleep? Let the sun go down on my wrath. That disturbs you, doesn't it? Disturbs your conscience, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Does mine. I don't know how many times I've had to, where I was right or wrong, I've had to say, Pastor, I'm sorry. I want to go to sleep. Forgive me. And then my mind said, it wasn't my fault, but forgive me anyway. I want to go to sleep. Why is it the preacher's always doing the confessing around here? Huh? You clearing your throat, you trying to tell me to move on. All right, we'll go on. He says, neither give place to the devil. And that's what you do. See the context? That's what you do. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with it. See, you take off and you put on. That's what he's talking about down through here. You know, I mean, if you just take off, and never put anything on or in, you wind up just like an empty bottle. Amen. Nothing there. He says, and give. Notice that. Work. Quit stealing. Work with your hands. That the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. That make any sense? That's blessed. He's talking about, you want a blessing? Hey, you want to be happy, be blessed? That's a little, just one matter in this text here that he gives you to consider and to practice, and I'll guarantee you'll be blessed. I guarantee, because he says you will. All right. He said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Well, be careful how you use your mouth, your tongue. He said, but that which is good to the use of edifying. That word edifying, I'll get back to it in a little bit, means to build up. We're too apt to tear down, aren't we? Tear down. Let's build up. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's a lot of reading, isn't it? A lot of preaching right down through there. All right, let's look at this unity. Let's look, you know, Paul's objective in this chapter is, you see that, don't you? Is to promote unity. He's trying to promote unity in the church at Ephesus, and not only there, but in the body of Jesus Christ from the beginning to the consummation. This is ours. What he wrote here is to you and I, to Calvary Baptist. And so his objective is to promote unity. You see that especially in verse 3 through 6. This is in agreement with our Lord's Prayer. In John chapter 17, I'm referring to the prayer, the high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look over there just a moment. John chapter 17. Look at verse, beginning with verse 20 through 23. We'll just take just a section of it there. He said in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they also, or that they, excuse me, that they all may be one. There's that unity, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world, there it is again, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me. Unity is our witness. That's what convinces the world that we are who we say we are. Unity. Unity. Over the years, traditionally, Baptist Church has been noted of being fighters. Fight one another. Huh? Yeah. Big conflicts go on. This church, you hear about what happened up here at so-and-so church? Had a split. And a split over what? Huh? No. No doctrine. No doctrine. Somebody wanted to change the color of the walls. Huh? Somebody wanted to put some chandeliers in. And somebody said, don't nobody know how to even play one of them things. Fights. Fights. And that doesn't witness to the world anything, but I don't want to be a part of that. But unity is our witness. Paul said it, Christ said it. They're both on the same page here. The message over here in John 17, let me give it to you. I'm praying not only for them, but also for those who will. Who will. Believe in me because of them and their witness about me. Started with those apostles, that first little group of Christ, called in Christ, sent apostles. And began to spread the word. It's been picked up, the torch has been picked up and carried here and carried there, and it's still being carried. Nobody's going to believe apart from the gospel. And so he says, the goal is for all them to become one heart and mind. That's what Jesus is saying over there. That's what he's praying for. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me the same glory you gave me, I give them. So they'll be as unified and together as we are. What about that? The Lord Jesus Christ is praying for you and I to be as unified as He and the Father is. We ought to strive for that. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ desires that. He has a passion for that. We ought to strive for it. He says, I and them, and you and me, then they'll be mature. That's what he said, that perfect over there. They'll be mature in this oneness and give the godless world evidence that you've sent me and loved them in the same way you've loved me. That's what he said over there. And see, to achieve this objective, Paul shows that after his ascension, after our Lord ascended into heaven, that Christ gave gifts to men. Verse number 8, look at it again. He says, wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he said this in Psalm, this is a prophecy, Psalm 68:18. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he ascended up on high. He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. It could be read like this. When he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men, meaning the gifts of the Holy Ghost. The gifts, and particularly such as qualify men or the work of the ministry. That's what it's all about here. These he received in man, as a man, the man Christ Jesus. These he received in man, in human nature, in that nature in which he ascended to heaven in the man that is known above. And it could be translated, he received gifts for men, as well as gave gifts to men. Since the Messiah received, in order to give, he gives in consequence of his having received them. He received them, and he gave them. He received them for men, and he gave them to men. Men that he appoints to preach the gospel to his people. That makes sense. That's what he's saying there. You see, the gifts are actually, we could say this, the gifts are the men that have been gifted or equipped by the Holy Ghost that he gives to the church. Did you know that? Did you know that I'm a gift to the church? I'm a gift to the church. So now we come to the purpose of these gifts. For the what? For the perfecting of the saints, verse 12, 13. And perfecting there is maturity. Christian, listen, what he's saying here is Christian maturity produces unity. And unity makes schisms impossible. Mature Christians are not at one another's throat. They're not one another's back. They're one in heart and in mind. They have a purpose. Their purpose is to glorify their Lord, is to enhance His kingdom. Unity. I'm telling you, maturity produces unity,
in believers, and unity forbids schisms.
No way. So for the perfecting, that's a rare word, according to A.W. Robertson's word studies. Also Barnes, Albert Barnes, they both agree. They're the word study people, the ones that I use. I never have, hopefully, implied or led you to think that I know the Greek and I know the Hebrew. The only Greek that I ever really knew was a fella up in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, that run a sub shop, a pizza and sub shop that one day treated me to a meal. He was a Christian, great fella, and he's the only Greek I know. Really know. Became well acquainted with. I get my information from those that did study. I would to God I knew how to read the Greek and how to read the Hebrew and how to read the Latin. Some do, and that's great. As I saw Brother Johnson one time years ago about it, and I had a desire somewhat to go back maybe and do some post work, you know. He said, it'd be good. It'd be good. It'd help you. He said, but Brother Work, he said, when you learn to read the Greek, he said, all you've learned is to read the Greek. You've got to have light. I mean, it's the Word of God is ministered to, by the Holy Ghost. It's opened up to us by the Spirit of the Lord. But this is a rare word here. Matter of fact, it's only found in this one place here. I'm talking about this perfecting, this perfect, perfecting. The Greek word itself, now you'll find perfect and perfecting many times throughout the Scripture, but this is a Greek word that's only found right here. And Paul had, undoubtedly, he had a definite cause for using this word in this particular place. Now you find a cognate, a kindred word. It's found over in Matthew, and that'll give you some building material. You've got for example, over Matthew 4:21, it says, and going on from this, talking about Christ, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father. Here's the word mending, perfecting. Maturing, mending their nets, and he called them. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, you have it again. He said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore. Same word. Same kindred word. Restore. Such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So, we're talking about building up and restoring and mending and fixing up broken things and bringing on to a better state, a mature state. That's what the ministry is about. That's why it's so important. If a man's really going to minister the Word of God, he's going to have to minister the Word of God. Expound the Scriptures. Not take a scripture for a topical text and use that and fly off into some kind of only God knows what. It's just expounding, line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little, and what your goal is to bring God's people, God's sheep, to maturity, learning. And then he says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Saints and body of Christ are synonymous, one and the same. Jim's always got something funny. Called Sunday afternoon. And he's a man that's supposed to be 77 degrees over Birmingham on Monday. He's afraid he won't want me to get out. they haven't turned you loose yet. I said, Jim, hell, but I can't go. It just deflated him. But anyway, got on a lighter note. He said, by the way, he said, tell Brett that I woke up in the middle of the night, about 3 o'clock. He said, I must have laid there an hour and a half, trying to find a word for synonym. A word for synonym. Only Jim. But saints and body are synonymous. Body of Christ. The one and the same. And edifying here, he uses the term edifying, is unto the building up. Unto the building up of the one and same. What? The saints and the body. The body of Christ. You see, the ultimate goal in all these varied gifts is for the building up of the saints. The words used over here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together. One word there, but it's the translator used what? 4 words to translate that Greek word. In whom all the building fitly framed together. What? Groweth up. Or groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. It's a growing process. Discipline. Being denied this, that, and the other. I could not help but see an illustration. Pastor sent me about last Sunday her episode and experience in the nursery there with those little ones. Gabe had a book he was interested in. And he was sitting there with that book in his hand, and Lily Ann decides she wants the book. So she walks over and takes the book out of Gabe's hand. And, she thinks she's got seniority back there. And so she takes the book, and Pastor said, no, young lady, you can't do that. Gabe had that book. She takes it out of his hand, or her hand, gives it back to Gabe. And she stands there, and she's passed it, the expression on her face. You can't do that. Deny. It's in the nature. We don't like to be denied. Right? We want not only ours, we want his. And if we get away with it, we take it. And that's kind of the way this society is run today. It's coarse. And just two precious, beautiful young women. Well, in the same day, wasn't it? Pretty close. One in North Carolina, one down in Alabama at Auburn University. I mean, somebody took what they wanted just because they wanted it and took life to get it. That's in every one of us. That's at the root of every... That's our nature. That's why we have law. And the stronger the law is inflicted and imposed upon us, the better the society will be. It has to be kept in check, under control. And so, we as believers, we have to keep everything in check and under godly self-control. If we're going to serve together as a unity, the King and the cause of Christ. You have it again in Romans, also Romans 14, verse 19, this word, where he says, let us therefore, I'll read it to you, you don't have to turn there. Paul said, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. And the things wherewith one may edify, build up another. Matter of fact, it's translated in another translation, let us then pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. And Barnes says, Mr. Albert Barnes says in his word study, he said the word edify means properly to build as a house. Then to rebuild or reconstruct, to adorn or ornament. He says to do anything that will confer favor or advantage or which will further an object. He said applied to the church, it means to do anything by teaching, counsel, advice, and so forth, which will tend to promote its great object. What's the great object of the church? To glorify Christ. And then, the anticipated goal, till we all come. Till we all come. First, in the unity of the faith. And in that context, the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto, next, a perfect man. That is, a mature person, spiritually speaking. Unto the measure of the secondly stature of the fullness. And thirdly, of Christ. The fullness of Christ. That's the goal. That's the goal. Now, when shall we reach this? Huh? Glory. Glory. Not until we come to glory. There we shall be glorified together with Christ. But until then, work. Labor. Labor. Always laboring, working first of all on yourself. Huh? I was sitting at the table last Sunday, I guess it was Sunday after service, sitting at the bar there eating my lunch with my wife across from me. And I struggled with it. I have struggles. I said, you know my greatest enemy? See, I don't quit preaching when I leave here. Go on home preaching. She said, you? I said, you're right. Right here. More work than I can ever get to right here. But don't mean I'm going to quit. And then there's a present goal here. That's glory. We'll reach that by the grace of God. My goal as a pastor is to sound the silver trumpet and call the wanderers home and stabilize them when they get here in the gospel. Stabilize them in the gospel. To educate them in the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, your goal as a believer should be to grow up. To grow up. Mature. Move on. Move on. I tell you right now, it's few in here, I don't know where you've ever grown one peg or not. I'm going to be honest with you. Of course, you got to have life to grow. Got to have life. Stillborn babies don't grow. But I tell you right now, a living baby grows. I mean, I can see it in that great-grandbaby. More, just bring back my memory to the grandbabies. And Amber's 18th birthday yesterday. And there's Lillian. She's a center of attraction. Well, I remember when Amber was a center of attraction. But she's grown up and Brittany came along and took her place. And now, Lillian. One time you had it all, didn't you? Nikki, she had it all. But how quick life passes. It's gone. And Lily will grow. Lord with it. She She'll be taught. She'll mature. And so your goal as a believer is to grow up, move on. You notice that from henceforth. From henceforth, that you be, what? What did he say there? That you be not tossed about. That you be not, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the slide of men. You see, that's the purpose of stabilizing you in the gospel, in the doctrine of the gospel. I mean, we've got young people here. Thank God they've heard enough that they're not rattled. They can stand their ground when the debatable subject comes up. And that's the way it ought to be. There'll be some growth. There'll be some growth. And that's the reason God kept me around here so long, is to grow His people. Just to grow His people. That's the object. That's my object. And I pray for it to be yours. You got this over, and I'm not going to go there. And I want you to read it and study it for yourself. You got it comes up again in Philippians chapter 3. Just study. Go over and look carefully. It's verse 18, real carefully. I mean, verse 8 through 15, I'm sorry. And the word perfect comes up over there. And Paul very pointedly denies that he has reached a spiritual impasse of non-development. You read that carefully. And I'm going to tell you right now, if Paul didn't reach it, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands in here. Huh? No, sir. Just keep a pressing on. Pressing on. Grow up. Grow up. Unify. We got one goal, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. All right, brother. Thank you.